We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Daily Draft. And today I'm very excited to be with my friend, Jacob Morley. Jacob, buddy, how are you?
I am doing great, man. It's always a great day to talk wide receiver, even if the Packers don't need one.
Yes. An interesting conversation nonetheless. Today, as Jacob just told you, is the wide receiver positional preview. And look, we're not doing a quarterback positional preview this year. And folks might even think like, hey, wide receiver could even be in that. Like, this isn't worth our time conversation. What I'll say about that is, you know, a number of things, right? Like, Christian Watson has not been super healthy. There are people that believe Romeo is, you know, replaceable, but also Romeo Dubs and Christian Watson have expiring contracts, not this year, but next year. You know, neither of them were a first round pick. There is no fifth year option. They could be on their way out. Certainly, you know, it's not necessarily a position of need, but a position of sort of check out. And look, the Packers have done this in the past. You know, they didn't really need a wide receiver when they drafted Jordy Nelson super high. They've done this, guys. They will value a position or a player and just say, we can't not take this guy. And so there are maybe some guys like that in this class. Gets to a point at 58 or 88 or 91, Green Bay just, or 41 even. And Green Bay just says, like, this value is too much. And you actually, Jacob, kind of hope maybe at 25 with a certain guy. So we'll have those discussions. But just wanted to kind of kick it off with understanding, like, this is the state of the room, a room you have to be pretty excited with. Let's go right into the state of the room. Last 2 years, they have swung big at wide receiver and have hit, right? Christian Watson, they used 2 second-round picks to move up to very top of the second round and take him. And he has struggled a little bit to stay healthy, playing in like 67% of games. But when he's on, there's nobody like him on the Packers. And honestly, there was a 4-game stretch where he was the number 2 graded wide receiver by Pro Football Focus in the league. And I'm not saying he's a top 2 or 3 wide receiver in the league, but I'm saying his highs are that, right? And we saw that against the Cowboys. We saw that against the Eagles. We saw that in 2022. We saw that against the Chiefs and Lions in 2023. He's a special player. Then in round 4, they grab Romeo Dubs, and he has been extremely reliable, was very, very good in this most recent year's playoffs. Absolutely everything and more that you could ever ask from a 4th-round pick. And I think is a really good 2nd or 3rd option in the wide receiver room. Then last year, ton of trading around in the 2nd round to grab Michigan State wide receiver Jaden Reed. That's your slot guy. And Jaden has been awesome. much more productive in his second to last year than his final year in college. But Green Bay appears to have hit an absolute home run with Jaden Reed. Maybe not, though, and I'm going to kick it to you because this is your guy. Maybe not quite to the degree of the home run that they potentially have hit in Virginia's Dontavian Wicks, one of your guys from the process last year.
Yeah, and you talk about the tiers that we have for the wide receivers in Green Bay, and it's not tough to look back all the way, you know, to Ron Wolf, and they haven't really changed what they like at the wide receiver position. So you take all that information and you can kind of, you know, make your little filters for the wide receivers. And last year, you know, sitting at the top of that list was, you know, not at the top, but Dontavian Wicks was one of like five guys in last year's draft class that just hit every single metric that Green Bay typically likes. But with him, man, at Virginia, you turned on the tape with him, and that's the first thing that comes to mind is the way he moves, the way he blocks, the way he catches the ball, gets upfield, the way he attacks the football. I mean, like, this is a Packer wide receiver. So he was an easy guy to kind of fall in love with, and I was shocked that he was there in round five. I think some of that was he didn't run super fast at the NFL Combine, and you kind of dig deeper into that, and he was dealing with the hip flexor at the Combine. Came back at his pro day, ran a low 4.5. I know one team had him at 4.48, but that's who he is. He's a high 4.5, mid 4.5 type guy. And the thing that really stands out to him is you look at his footwork, like at the line of scrimmage, at the top of his routes. I mean, he is someone that is so proficient in that area. And I was just so thrilled that he was able to kind of put that on display last year for the Packers and kind of show everyone what I think, you know, the people that really put in the work and watch these wide receivers like saw in this kid. And it was you kind of had to go back to his junior year and to see really what he was. And then again, if you kind of dug a little bit deeper with that Virginia team, there was a lot of stuff going on. Brand new coaching staff. They obviously had the tragedy at the University of Virginia where I think it was two or three teammates were killed tragically in that school shooting. So just a lot of stuff that you can kind of point to and be like, well, of course, you know, the senior year wasn't quite what everyone expected it to be. So, yeah, we're thrilled with Dontavian. I think the sky is the limit with him. You look at his relative athletic score, and he is a plus nine guy with that lower 4.5, you know, run that he has in there. So as far as like, what is his ceiling? High. It's high, you know? So he is someone that, I'm very excited to see develop in the next year, 2 years. But like you've already kind of alluded to, these are all young, promising players. I wouldn't say any of them have arrived at the moment. Not yet, yeah. At least. I think it's coming. But to think all of them, you know, all six, seven of these guys are going to be bona fide stud NFL wide receivers. I think history would just tell us some might fall off. You know, some might have flashed their rookie season or their first couple of years and never quite materialize into who you think or thought they might be.
Yeah, and the development track part of it is interesting because, you know, I think Greg Jennings was a really productive rookie wide receiver almost out of necessity. And of course, playing with Brett Favre didn't hurt. But you look at the development track of Davante Adams, and it was an okay to probably above okay rookie year, followed by a disastrous year two, and then he became who he was. Jordy Nelson, they brought him along slowly. James Jones was okay, but again, he was his best version of himself in year three. Randall Cobb, similar track. Like, they needed him to do some stuff as a rookie, and he did, but he didn't become Randall Cobb until his second and third year in the league. Well, we've only seen the first and second years of these guys, and by the end of the season, they were playing elite offensive football. I mean, what they did to Dallas in Dallas was crazy, and go look, by the way, at Dallas's defensive numbers from last year under Dan Quinn. They were good. Dallas was good at defense. And Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, and these receivers burned their house down. It was crazy. Okay. We always kind of talk about one sort of topic or one theory, one big item of discussion at each position. And I want to talk about one of my lines here, and that would be the Melton Heath line. What is that? You know, Brian Gutekunst has talked about the Mendoza line as it applies to Jair Alexander's height, where Jair was basically the shortest corner that they would spend a premium pick on. Like, his height is right there. And this isn't quite that, but it is a roster line. I think this line exists in the interior defensive line room. And obviously I wouldn't be talking about it if I didn't feel like this line exists in the wide receiver room. And that is the line of kind of who will actually make the team. Famously, the year that the Packers took Jordan Love in 2020, fans were looking for a player to pair with Devontae Adams, T. Higgins, Denzel Mims was a popular name. Other even smaller guys like KJ Hamler to play the slot. I can think of Michael Pittman Jr., other players that were sort of seen as guys that make sense. And everybody knows, for good, bad, or indifferent, Green Bay ended up with three guys and they all play in the backfield. That would be Jordan Love, A.J. Dillon, and Josiah DeGuara, I guess, if you count him as a fullback. With that said, as the draft went on, Packers fans got more and more frustrated because they never added a wide receiver of any kind. My line for that year was, after Tyler Johnson, I don't know. Because at the time, Green Bay had receivers they thought were interesting. They had Alan Lazard, and he was kind of on the come up. They had Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They still had Equanimeous St. Brown. I don't remember if Jamon Moore was still around or not. I think he might have been gone. But like, they had these bottom of the roster guys that they thought were interesting, and they thought eventually that they were more interesting than the guys that they could have taken in round 5, 6, or 7. And where am I going with this? Well, where I'm going with this is that Bo Melton caught a touchdown in a freaking NFC divisional playoff game. Okay. Bo Melton is a high level athlete and a guy that I would have taken in the first four rounds. I had me, and that's where I had him in his class. And so maybe the first five rounds, I'd have to go back and look. I shouldn't just be shooting my mouth off, but I know I did not have an undrafted 7th round grade on Bo Melton. With that said, Malik Heath has been a good player. And Malik has sort of a limited role, but that's a valuable role and something that Packers, you know, had Alan Lazard do for a number of years. And so if you're going to take a wide receiver in this class, and I think most people think they won't, but if you're going to take a wide receiver in this class, I think it has to be early. And as weird as that sounds when you're saying, well, Ross, you just said it wasn't a need. Fine. And maybe it's not. But what is a late round flyer going to do for you if he can't beat out Bo Melton, Malik Heath, and the guy we haven't talked about, who was a tier one Packers fit last year, and Grant DuBose? Why am I burning a 6th round pick? And look, 6th round picks aren't bad, but why am I going to burn a 5th, 6th, or 7th round pick on a wide receiver that I'm not sure can beat out Bo Melton, Malik Heath, or Grant DuBose when I already have them in the building? I already have them trained up, and they're good players, or at least we think Grant DuBose has a chance to be a good player. What are your thoughts on the Melton Heath line and kind of the theory that you either got to take one or don't?
What a phenomenal weekend of college basketball. And hopefully you, like me, enjoyed your experience even more by using Prize Picks. If you didn't, well, what are you waiting for? Right now you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with your college basketball entries today. And it doesn't stop there. They have all sorts of entries available, including NBA, NHL, and so many more. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, especially during March Madness. It's extremely simple to play, and they even have super fun promotions available, like their Taco Tuesday, where select player projections are discounted up to 25% to provide even more value and excitement. They also have incredibly easy withdrawals, and for those of you that utilize Apple Pay, you can use it for quick and easy deposits into your account. College basketball is always fun this time of year, but it was so much more fun this past weekend with Prize Picks. I'll be sticking with Caitlin Clark this week and probably adding a few NBA selections as well, especially with the return of Chris Middleton to the Bucks. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through Game Time. My experience with Game Time has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets. And save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
I mean, that's the line, right? That's what you look at because they're prospects that you like. And you can kind of look back at like the offensive line position last year for the Packers. They had a lot of like young talent that they liked on the offensive line. You know, Zach Tomlin's an up-and-coming player, Rashid Walker. They got the Caleb Jones, Luke Tenuta, all those guys that they're like, oh, we don't – just didn't take one. And I think you could very much see that happen this year for the Packers at the wide receiver position. In fact, I would even expect it. But there are guys that are in this class that, like, man, if they're there, you just got to take them. And I think you're right with, like, the late-round guys. There's not a ton of guys, like, in round six or seven that you would add – that you would like more than those guys. But I would say, you know, Malik Heath, like, is not guaranteed to make this team, to make this roster in year two. I think he had a nice rookie year, but like maybe he is who he is and he's maxed out and they want a guy that's going to maybe offer a little bit more upside. I don't know. You know, so we'll see that. And I think, you know, Brian talked about it in his offseason presser when he talked about just like adding competition to rooms. And I think, you know, they'd be willing to do that on day three if the right guy is there, that they are going to say, like, hey, it's round seven. You know, we like player X a lot. Not sure if he's going to make the team, but we're not sure if any of these seventh round picks are going to make the team. And so we're going to add him to this group, to this room. And we're just going to hope that, like, hey, man, if he beats these guys out, it's because he had a phenomenal camp and he made everyone better. And then there's still the practice squad, too. So, like, I think, you know, they're just kind of in a position that is envious of every team in the NFL because they've got just guys coming out of the woodwork that were great last year. So we'll see what they do at the position. I, you know, it is kind of sad though too, because this is such a fun position to talk about and it's great that they have like legit seven guys that you like, but you know, it for draft talk, it's not as much fun, but here we are and we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about some of the guys that kind of are above that line, I guess you could say. And I don't know if you want to get into that yet. I've got three specific guys, Ross, that like make a lot of sense to me for this team.
Fair enough. And you're the guy, you're the Packer people guy. You are, you know, people need to buy the draft guide, need to buy the Green Bay draft guide powered by Packer Report. You're looking at, you know, the two guys with Jacob Westendorf that really drive the actual Packers side content in that guide. And part of that is your tiers and your thresholds and Packer people and what that means. And wide receiver was a big one and a big, honestly, congrats to you for just how things shook out last year. And I'm not, it doesn't make you a super genius or whatever, but like, you know, I think it was what A.T. Perry, JSN, and then three guys that actually ended up being Packers. Was that how it shook out? And talk about that a little bit and just sort of what your thresholds are and what you've seen with the way that Goody and Ted have done business.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just wide receiver either. Like the draft guy, we're going to have Packer people for every single position. And Lucas Van Ness was a tier one guy last year. Carrington Valentine was a tier one corner. Anthony Johnson Jr. was a tier one safety. So like a lot of these thresholds are not just for the wide receiver position. Like we hit on a lot of them last year. Last year's draft, I was laughing by the end of it because they just kept taking guys that were tier one guys. And, we've been doing this, the Packers people, for 3 years. And I think we've hit on, you know, Christian Watson, tier one, Romeo Doubs, tier one, Quay Walker, tier one, like a lot of guys that you look at how, what they traditionally have liked. And it's kind of easy to narrow it down. Now, Jaden Reed actually was not a tier one guy. But Jaden Reed was interesting because he did not, per the thresholds at wide receiver, he didn't disqualify himself anywhere. He was kind of that guy that you're like, oh, he's close on literally every single one. And so they ended up taking him just because that's where the nuance of being an evaluator comes in. We're like, we just like him and he's close enough. So take him. And they were right. But for wide receiver, you know, like they typically like guys that are 5'11 or taller. I think it's 195 is kind of like the threshold. And they've fudged on that a few times, but I think density is kind of a big deal to them. So when you see a guy, you know, you see a guy like Xavier Worthy, you see a guy like Troy Franklin, you know, Xavier Worthy from Texas, Troy Franklin from Oregon, both in the, you know, below 180. It's, you can kind of look at those guys and be like, man, they'd really be reaching outside of what they traditionally like to do to take one of those players, like really reaching outside. And I'm not saying they won't do it. I don't know. I think they could, you know, Goody has proven like, hey man, if he really likes a guy, he's just going to take him. But I do think it would be an abnormality to take one of those guys. So, you know, there's right now there's three guys, you know, as we are recording this, there are three guys that are tier one Packers in this year's draft class. There is a lot more that can come. I think there's like nine guys that are still eligible to be tier one at the wide receiver position.
Got to run some three cones.
we got to run some three cones. So that's an important one to them. They want, you know, anything below like the, it's like 7.08 three cone, which actually isn't like that impressive of a three cone to run. But when you do it at the size thresholds that they like, then it kind of is, you know, and that's like all of these thresholds you look at and you're like, oh, that's not like a huge threshold. Like the 40 is like 4, 5, 6. Like that's not hard to get, but it's when you have to do all of them, right?
Right. When you're 6'1", 205 moving like that. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And so that's just kind of how that goes with all of that. And every year there's like 5 to 8 guys that are typically tier one types. So, you know, for this year, guys I'd keep an eye on are one, all the Washington receivers are Polk still has to run his three cone. I think he'll hit it though, just by watching him. McMillan and Odunze. Odunze is not going to be a Packer, right? Like that would be a run the card up type thing. Brian Thomas Jr. is still eligible. He hasn't run a three cone yet, but he's basically done everything else. And then a guy that I'm kind of annoyed because people are starting to talk about him a lot. And he's a guy that I've kind of, even before he tested, I'm like, oh man, I think this guy's going to be a tier one type. And that's Luke McCaffrey out of Rice, who's a really interesting late round pick, because even if his last name's not McCaffrey, obviously brother of Christian, son of Ed, all that stuff. But, you know, he's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the agilities, and he's also got the production score. That's something that we don't talk about a ton. The Packers always look at the receiver and it's like, if you have not been productive in college, they are really not that interested in you. Christian Watson is like the least productive receiver they've ever taken. But you do the homework on Christian and you're like, well, they ran the ball a bajillion times. Like he was actually very productive in their system. You go back and look at Davante Adams had a year where he was top five in receiving yards in college. Greg Jennings had a year like that. James Jones had a year like that. Jordy Nelson had a year like that. Randall Cobb had a year where I think he almost led college football in, you know, all purpose yards. Last year, you know, Wicks had a 1,000-yard season under his belt. Jaden Reed had a 1,000-yard season under his belt. So did DuBose. So you look at that kind of stuff and you're like, okay, that's another benchmark to look at. Like, have they had a 1,000-yard season or have they had multiple, like the way I quantified is like, have they had multiple 750 plus type years, which like, I can, maybe you didn't have that one huge year, but you've been consistently pretty productive. So, you know, guys like that, that's tough to hit all of those measurables. So, you know, some of these guys, you know, don't hit like Keon Coleman, I love, but he's not, I don't think he's going to be a tier one Packer. He's going to have to run a faster 40. We're going to have to see his three cone time. But as far as production scores, I think he's got like one season where he had 750 plus. So he's kind of close on that, but not like he's not going to get a full grade on that. So he could be another guy that is not going to like disqualify himself anywhere, but he's not going to be a legit tier one fit. Kind of the opposite, kind of similar to Jaden Reed, except huge, right? Like, his stuff is, you know, more of the agilities. Jaden didn't disqualify himself and was a smaller guy. So, you know, that's kind of what you're looking at as far as like athletes and potential fits for the Packers in that regard.
Yeah. And people talk about Christian, and Christian was an outlier. And I've mentioned that before, you know, like North Dakota State, they could have won every game while he was there, just about, and basically did win every game when he was there by handing it off and getting 6 yards of carry. And you see all of like the chase down touchdown blocks that he threw and him just dogging people in the run game. And of course they opened up vertical shots, you know, via the play action game for that. But like, there weren't 1,000 yards that existed in that offense. There weren't 1,000 yards to go to him. But other than that, man, Greg Jennings was crazy productive in college. Yep. Jordy Nelson had a 1,600-yard season at K-State. One of the guys, I can't remember who it was, had 3 1,000-yard seasons. They really, really like productive college wide receivers. Like they do truly believe that that kind of stuff translates. I think
even,
it might have been
even guys. Even guys, they missed it. Like Jamon Moore had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons super productive in the SEC. Yep. Yep. I think MVS had, you know, massive productivity at Central Florida, wherever the heck he was at. Yep. So it is something that they
– and Wicks like, and Reed and both had – yeah, both had super productive yep. second-to-last college yep. seasons. Okay. We have – did you mention kind of who the fits might be? You mentioned McCaffrey, right?
McCaffrey was one. McMillan, the Washington kid, the third Washington kid, he was hurt this last year, played in the slot a bunch for Washington, but you look at his size, he's 6'1", almost 200 pounds. Like I think he can play on the outside. He is a route runner, and he's someone that similar to Dontavian last year, when you watch him, you're just like, man, I bet the Packers are going to like him. I don't know if they're going to draft him, but I bet they're going to like him. And he's someone, again, he had a, you know, like Jaden Reed, like Wicks, he had a huge year in his year before last year. Obviously was hurt this year. And then I think I've mentioned Odunze, but like he's not going to – Polk will probably be one. There's three right now. Three legit right now that I can say with a bullet are Tier 1 Packers are McMillan, Odunze, and Luke McCaffrey. And outside of that, we're waiting on testing time. So if you want to know who all of them will be, then you're going to have to buy the guide, because it will all be updated by the time, you know, draft day rolls around, because unfortunately we do have to wait on three cones, from what I've heard is the a lot of guys at the combine don't like running the three cone there because they don't like the way it's set up. And
it's the end of the day. And yes, yeah, it's dumb.
Been up since 5 a.m. And yep. it's just like, I'll just do it at my pro day. So, yeah. And that's fine. Good for those guys. Go run a good time and make your money. But it does make it tough for guys like me that I've got to like track down all these pro right. day times. So,
yep. Yep. Okay. Guys we like as we sort of wrap up the show here. When I say guys we like, I mean, look, we are not any different than anybody else. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. That's not what you're coming here to find out. Like, those are the three best wide receivers in the draft.
Yeah, I like those guys. I like them.
Green Bay probably going to take them. Probably not going to be in position to take them. I don't know what else to tell you. So that's not what you come here for. So I'll kick things off since you just got done with your spiel, which we very much appreciate. I'll kick things off here. Guys I like.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, I am high on Xavier Worthy. Green Bay ain't gonna take him. Okay. I was high on Tank Dell last year, and that's not, hey, look at me, I'm so smart. Green Bay was never gonna take a small guy like Tank Dell. And guess what? Tank Dell ended his season on injured reserve with a broken leg. I'm not saying that that's not random, but it is unfortunate. Xavier Worthy is a good football player. Well, that's awesome analysis, Ross. Why is that helpful? Well, it's helpful because of what happened with John Ross. Everybody knows, well, maybe not everybody, just so people know, so people watching this know, Xavier Worthy broke the 40-yard dash record at the combine. I think he ran a 4.21. He is the fastest player, theoretically, in the history of the NFL. But why it's important that he's a good football player is because he can actually play football. I've put up a couple of different clips of him actually smoking people at the top of his route. Now, Texas made him a screen merchant, which makes a ton of sense, but there are some actual nuanced, excellent routes in his film in the red zone. on third down. Like, he can play football. And if you can play even a little bit of football, which, you know, look, guy, there were guys that couldn't. Darius Hayward Bay couldn't. We'll never know about Henry Ruggs. Jameson Williams has not made it yet. He's not bad, but he hasn't made it yet. Obviously, John Ross didn't make it. Xavier Worthy is actually good at football, guys. And him being good at football and being able to run a 4-2-1 is pretty scary stuff. Now, him looking like a stick figure track star and weighing in at 165 pounds is scary stuff too. And I think that, you know, has the potential to potentially tank his value or, you know, make him not work in the NFL long-term. Higher than some on Keon Coleman. Jake talked about that plenty. I definitely higher than everybody on his teammate, Johnny Wilson. He's a top 45 player for me. My comp for him is the long-armed monsters in Stranger Things. He has an absolutely unbelievable catch radius, tested out as a 98th percentile athlete. And it's not just a Raz thing for me, guys. Like, as good as Keon Coleman was in college, Johnny Wilson was the money down guys. An absurd amount, and I don't know why his production wasn't more, but an absurd amount of Johnny Wilson's production was on either resulted in a first down or a touchdown. And a lot of it was on third down. Struggles catching the football. Hand up. Fully understand that. Get it. Don't care that much. Devontae dropped the ball. Jordy dropped the ball. James Jones dropped the ball. Christian dropped the ball. It's just not a thing. Would I like everybody to have a higher catch percentage? Sure. Do I care that much about Johnny Wilson's? Not that much. Later guys that I'm cool with. I like Ricky Pearsall, the kid out of Florida. He's kind of sort of at the end. The two guys that I would say are sort of at the end for me, and one of them, I know I'm stealing from Jake Morley on this. I know I am. But the two guys that are kind of at the end of the, okay, do I actually want this guy to compete for the wide receiver five spot would be Javon Baker from UCF or now I just lost the poor kid. Javon Baker from UCF or Pearsall. I guess that's, I must have got a little confused here. Those guys are at the end of, you know, what I would kind of do. Brendan Rice is sort of right there before I have kind of a big drop off down to Jamari Thrash, Luke McCaffrey, and Inez Smith. But my shelf for where I would actually be comfortable with Green Bay doing something in the top 100 kind of ends at the Ricky Pearsall, Javon Baker area. Any guys you like?
Yeah, Baker is a guy that I've been high on for a while. He kind of reminds me of Wicks when I watch him play. Just someone that I think is going to come in. I don't know if he's going top 100. We'll see. But he could be a guy that can come in and surprise people with the way he plays. I think he's just a complete package. Pearsall is a good player. I think if you want him, you better take him with one of those 2 seconds. I think that's kind of where he's trending right now. I think a lot of people like him. But as far as guys, you know, I like the guys you mentioned, but you know, late round guys like day three types that you could say like, hey, they could actually make this team. Someone that's really interesting to me is Jordan Whittington from Texas. He's an older guy. And when I say take him, I say like he is maybe a souped up version of Malik Heath in the fact that I think, you know, Matt LaFleur calls these guys goons or war daddies. Like that's who he is when you watch him play at Texas. He's the other Texas receiver. He's already pretty accustomed to doing the special teams work, the blocking work, all that stuff. I think he would fit in to that role pretty seamlessly. But again, they already have a guy that I think they like in that role. For top 100, kind of like what I've been rolling with is if the Packers are going to take a receiver in the top 100, three scenarios that I could see are one, if Brian Thomas Jr. is sitting there at 25. And I know that's going to, people are going to be like, what are you talking about? Why would they take a receiver in the first round when they haven't done it since Javon Walker? Yeah, I get it. And it also might be a little bit objectively hilarious that as soon as Rodgers is gone, they take a receiver in the first round. But he is that talented. And I think Ross, you tweeted it the other day, like, why not have two Christian Watsons? And you talk about a guy that has just got the length and the speed. A lot of fun stuff could be had with two guys that can get behind defenses like that, especially when you start adding in Okay, well, then who's going to work the middle of the field? Everyone else. You know, everyone else that they have that can do that. And that is that. But the next guy is Keon Coleman in round two. I think one of those 2 second round picks, you take him and you don't look back. And I think, man, he's the type of guy. I don't know if he's going to be tier one for everything, but he reminds me of a Packers receiver. Maybe I'm getting away from what has worked in the past, and maybe that's just the vibes only type thing. But the vibes for him very much are Green Bay Packer. Young guy, 20 years old, going to be, you know, give him to an NFL wide receiver coach and we'll see what happens. And by the way, Jason Vrabel might be the best in the NFL. So go ahead and give him to him and just see what happens. Right. And then the next guy I would take, and it might have to be in the second round too, but I would like if he was there in the third, is Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky kid who, if you watch him, it's not fair, but people are going to compare him to Deebo Samuel. That's the super easy comp to make. Deebo was a much better route runner when he came out of South Carolina. But as far as everything else, like the potentially the way he can be used, the way he's utilized would be very similar to Deebo. With, you can hand the ball off to him in the backfield. You can, you know, play him in the slot. You can play him out wide. You can get creative with him. And I just think his presence on this team is different than anyone else. You know, all three of these guys, you know, maybe aren't different. Keon Coleman's different than anyone else they have. Malachi Corley's different than anyone else they have. Brian Thomas Jr., not so much. They've got one like him, but his skill set is so valuable that, man, you just take as many guys like that as you can get your hands on. But Coleman and Corley are two guys that I think you take and say, well, we don't have one like that. And that's kind of what you have to look at, I think, for this team, too, is not just the Melton Heath line, but the we don't have a toy like that. And so I think those three guys are guys that, like, if you miss on one of those three, there's not a lot of guys I would really be that interested in beyond that. So it's going to be an interesting year because of that, because I don't know, they might take another receiver that, you know, is whatever. And I don't think it's going to make a lot of sense, but we'll see. And maybe they don't take one at all. And I wouldn't be shocked by that either.
Okay. A little behind the curtain. This is being recorded on the day of free agency, and Bakhtiari just tweeted that he's leaving. So that's what we're doing right now. You guys are probably getting this much later just because Jake and I would, and I certainly thought that Green Bay was probably hopefully in a time machine sort of way out of the veteran market at wide receiver. I don't think they'll add a vet at wide receiver. So we got out ahead of this one early. But honestly, this is about it, because we've gone through we're at the time where it'd be time to close up shop. So we'll close up shop here with the gun to your head question. The gun to your head question, as we've talked about ad nauseum, Green Bay will have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. Do the Aaron Rodgers and Rasul Douglas trades. They will also have their own round 4 pick and a compensatory pick thanks to the New York Jets and the contract that they gave Alan Lazard. Mr. Jacob Morley, gun to your head, do the Packers acquire a wide receiver with or before the Alan Lazard compensatory pick?
Man, that's such a hard question.
A lot of the people that we've had on here, or me answering the question when I kind of have non-Packers, more national people on, they've been easy. This one is not easy.
Well, and it's not easy because they have so many picks. And they could just be like, let's just be silly bodies and take a receiver and just burn one of these on a guy that's a complete luxury. Sure, I could see that. And the other thing that goes with that is, Ross, we have 18 wide receivers in our draft guide that we think are top 100 players. That's a lot. And Goody has shown in the past that he is willing to attack premium positions that are a strength of a draft. With all of that said, I'm going to say no. I don't think that they take a wide receiver before the 5th round. I think if they take if they burn a pick on someone that is just kind of like, whoa, I would expect maybe like a running back in round 2 above the wide receiver position. So I'm going to say no, gun to head.
All right. Still absorbing that David Bakhtiari news, which I'm sure is just throwing people for a loop at the very end of this show. Jake, thanks so much for your time, buddy. And all of you guys, thanks so much for listening or watching. If you're here on YouTube, do us a favor. We've talked a ton about the Packer Report draft guide. Buy it, please. Feed my family. Feed Jake's family. Feed his cat. Keeps breaking stuff.
Yeah.
Use promo code DAILY, as in the Daily Draft, DAILY, for 10% off that guide. Follow me. I'm at Ross Uglum on X, formerly known as Twitter, and he is at Jacob Morley. Check us out at Packer Report. We're both doing awesome draft stuff over there. The first month is always just a dollar. So if you check us out for a buck and you hate it, I have always promised to refund that $1, and I absolutely will. I haven't had to do it yet. And that should tell you how much people like the VIP stuff that we do over at Packer Report. Do everything you're supposed to do here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, click that bell, get the notifications so that you get 100% of the Packers content that you require every single day. Have an awesome rest of your day, folks, and go Pack, go.